I just had the weirdest dream, which is a very detailed, complete narrative, and I just want to try and record it. I went to sleep less than an hour ago, maybe midnight, it's now 1:20. I'm in Stafford, staying overnight at at a homestay before doing a non-monetary gig. It's the night of 11th May. My name is Reuben Thomas. So, I went to sleep, had this dream. It goes roughly like this. I was in some sort of university or library place, and one important thing about the dream is I'd never seen any of it before. It was quite a modern sort of building of the glass and steel variety. I can't remember what I was doing in the place. And I'm now just going to check that this recording is actually working because I'm doing it on my new Google phone with an application I've just downloaded. Okay, it seems to be working, so I don't need to be totally bonkers. Because I rather wondered, you know, if the usual thing was going to happen. And it's like when you write down all the amazing ideas in the middle of the night and it turns out to be total rubbish. But no, so far I was able to play back my recording. I think my senses are working. So, I was in this building, and I'm not sure what I was doing there. It was a university or a library of some sort. I got the impression it was like a university library, you know, really big place. I'm not sure I was looking for something or... I got the impression I was looking for something, and probably unsuccessfully. And at some point, I just see this girl, and she's got quite a particular look. No one I've ever seen before. Dark complexion, long dark, very curly hair. Falling from her head in an unrestrained way, or maybe tied back. But anyway, the point is that her face is clear. It's, I think, an oval face, not round anyway. She's of medium height. Can't remember anything about what she's wearing. And in the dream, something about her attracts me. I think she smiles at me or something like that. And somehow, I don't remember how it happens, but we get talking just a tiny bit. And then, again, I'm already using the details of this dream, but it's not important, the idea. So somehow, we get to the point where she's going to come for a walk with me, or come and have lunch with me, or something like that. Because it's definitely full day. It's definitely getting a feeling from lunchtime in the dream. And she just has to change out the lab coat, so maybe it's not at the library, or she has to put some books down or something. And this is the important bit. Or the first important bit, really. She goes to a sort of locker of some sort, and at that point, I think this is symmetric in the dream, although I can remember this bit less than the kind of similar point at the end of the dream. But anyway, I think I'm looking through a glass wall, she's walked through a door, and there's a sort of row of lockers on the other side, and then but their back's glass, I can see her through the glass. And then I look away for a minute. And I look back. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure that the two things are similar. at any point, in any case, the main point is that having arranged to spend some time with her right then, at some point, while she's doing whatever it is she needs to do, taking her lab coat off or putting books away, whatever it is, I lose sight of her for a minute. And when I look back, there's this cross guy coming towards me. And for some reason, I know he's indefinitely wearing a lab coat, so maybe she wasn't. Anyway, he comes towards me, and he's quite, he's kind of about 6 feet. There's something odd about him. And anyway, he's sallow complexion, darkish, curly head, rather sort of framing his face, Kensington cross, and he's got aggressive body language. And he comes over to me, and he wants to know what the fuck I'm doing with this girl. And I say, I'm just talking to her. But he's being aggressive, he just wants to know exactly what I'm doing with it. And again, I'm starting to lose the details of the stream, but it doesn't matter, I think it's very easy to fill in. I'm sort of saying, well, you know, what's it to him, and I'm defensive, I'm not being aggressive back. I mean, this is my natural personality in the dream. I felt I was myself, not someone else. So, I'm backing off, you know, I don't want any trouble from this guy, but he's insisting. So, I just, you know, I don't see any sign of I don't see where the girl's gone. I don't see any sign of it. So, I just think, right, I'm leaving, I've had enough, and I don't want to get any trouble from this guy. So I start walking off. And, the next guy's following me. And so I'm rather scared by this point, because I think, you know, which nutcase after me. He's still saying, what on earth am I doing with this girl? I don't know, I mean, obviously the natural assumption is that he's her girlfriend, boyfriend, or something like that. But, I don't know. And then funnily enough, at this point I stop. I don't think I'm actually wondering about it. I'm just thinking, how can I get rid of this nutter? So, I keep on walking, and I say, look, I think eventually when I realize he's following me, and he's followed me for maybe 100 yards, and I turn around and say, look, I don't know you. I don't know what you want. Please just leave me alone. And I turn around and I keep on walking. He's still following me. And if I remember right, he never actually touched me. I don't think he sort of restrains me or anything, you know, put the hands on my arm to stop me from leaving or whatever. But maybe in a realistic or a good version of the story, he would, because in a dream it's always very easy to, have the impression that you're being chased and you can't escape, without actually having to be physically in a position where you can't escape. Actually restrained, and maybe it would make more sense if he did. Anyway, he's doing this. And then there's another moment which I can't quite explain anymore. But as I say, the memories are really getting. For some reason, I changed from trying to escape to trying to reason with him. I just don't remember ever actually being cornered. Anyway, I'm obviously got that feeling, saying maybe it's best to write it that way. I try to reason with him, and I say, look, I'm really sorry. You know, whatever I've upset you, I'm sorry. I get the impression, this is just details about that into the character. I get the impression that he's a bit of a geek, sort of guy who's a PhD student maybe, or a postdoc, and I'm the sort of guy who quite possibly doesn't have a girlfriend. I mean, maybe that's why he's so madly jealous or whatever it is, because maybe she is his girlfriend, or she's not, but he's got a huge crush on her, or something like that. And so he's really jealous of the fact she was talking to me. So anyway, so he's really mad at me, and I'm trying to reason with him. And then there's a third moment I don't really have a straightforward bit of story for, but again, for some reason, he stops being quite so aggressive, and says, look, I'm going to talk to you. We're going to have lunch. I'm going to talk to you about this. And I didn't really understand how the narrative logic of that works. You know, I don't understand what exactly how he convinces me of that, or why his manner suddenly changes, or why I buy that. You know, again, it's just one of those dream-like things. Maybe another way of doing this is just remaking it literally as a dream, but exactly the same feeling, not just trying to make it into a more sensible narrative. But anyway, so I'm standing there and feeling, well, obviously, one reason that it makes sense is because I'm just delighted that he's not on my case anymore. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this isn't great. I didn't really want to spend more time with this guy than I could help. But, you know, maybe if I agreed to have lunch with him or coffee or whatever it is. And then he, then he stopped being aggressive. Then, you know, maybe we can just, maybe I didn't have to be there for very long. And at least I know he's not going to beat me up anymore. So I said, fine, you know, I'll do that, whatever you like. I did say, just whatever you like, just don't beat me up, but that's obviously how I'm feeling. So I say, whatever you like. And he goes over. He says, right, fine, we'll go for lunch, and whatever it is he said. He says, I'll just get my lab coat off. And this is the bit that I'm not sure should be symmetric with what I described earlier. I think I might have been describing earlier what I'm actually describing now. The scene earlier was actually a bit different. Anyway, essentially, he goes over to cupboard, starts taking his lab coat off, putting it away, and it's covered with, where I'm basically seeing through the cupboard wall, because it's essentially, rather than actual cupboard, it's like just a series of dividers, maybe wooden dividers, on the glass wall. He's gone through a door in the glass wall. I'm seeing him through the wall, and he's taking his coat off, and he's going to hang it up, I guess, in the cupboard. And that doesn't quite make sense, because I can see through the entire wall all the way along. There aren't any coats blocking it. So this is a slightly curious moment. But this is the moment, unlike the earlier moment, that really, really meant to be curious anyway. So in any case, you probably make it work visually with the occasional coat hanging in one of these spaces between dividers. The other thing is, if it's covered proper, or sorry, if it's a series of cupboards proper along the wall, then it wouldn't work, because you wouldn't be able to see. Oh, hang on, I know how you could make it work. Okay, so instead of, yeah, you have it so they are actually glass cupboards. They have wooden dividers between them, or even glass, but the way it works is that if you imagine a glass wall, you're looking at it, and then all the way along you have bits of wood or glass, doesn't matter, because you can't see them, they're edge on, sticking out from the wall. Each pair of them forms a cupboard. But then within that cupboard, you have a little hanging area, which is perpendicular to the wall, defined by, say, a top and bottom, also made of wood. So that each cupboard essentially is like a little cubicle. say, as wide as a changing cubicle. And then the hanging area, which is, as I say, perpendicular to the wall, is, and then defined by a top and bottom, one of the sides of the cupboard, is maybe as wide as a pair of shoes or something, is long. So you've got maybe, I don't know, 9 inches of hanging space followed by 2 feet of standing space. I mean, it's a totally ridiculous thing to have. I just thought you'd have it. That's basically what it looked like. Well, that's the impression I have of it, somehow. Anyway, so obviously you can tell what's going to happen now. The guy's taking his lab coat off. And I look away from him. And I look back. And there's this figure standing behind the glass wall. Without a lab coat. Looking rather different. Smaller. And then she comes back through the door in the wall. And it's the girl. And I know that it was her all along. So, there's two things about this story. There's the emotional bit, which is, obviously, this, without worrying about the weirdness as I've just described, there's the sort of changing character. There's the, first of all, this girl's being nice to me, and then she somehow turns into this monster boy who's being really aggressive. And I don't know that it's her. She's literally unrecognisable. And then, she's obviously done some sort of test, which presumably has passed, and then she becomes herself again. And then the other thing, of course, is, you want to know, how did she do this trick? And just before I woke up, just as I was waking up out of the dream, I knew that it was something to do with these glass walls and spaces between them. And I had this crazy thought that, when you stand in one of these little cupboards, and I'm now thinking the wall must have been glass, then there was some, if somebody with mirrors, if somebody with the glass wall, they make you look taller and change the way your face looks. Because one of the most important things I notice when I see that it's the girl again is that the first thing I notice, once I've realised that it is the girl again, is that she has the same hair as the boy. Only, and even more crucially, that what I described as her hair was clear of her face and the boy's was framing his, but the hair hasn't moved, it's just a question of point of view. It's just a question of, because she's shorter than the boy, I'm looking down on her, whereas the boy I was looking him in the face, and that somehow that made the difference between the hair appearing to be back and appearing to be framing the face. I don't know if that's possible to recreate. It sounds ludicrous now that I'm saying this, but again, it doesn't need to be literally that the hair hasn't moved. You just need to sort of somehow show that detail that it's the same hair. And I don't know how you explain it. In the film, because as I say, in the dream, it came to me as if it was just a trick with mirrors somehow. But of course, that doesn't make sense because, for a large part of all of my encounter with the boy, we didn't have any mirrors between us. It's like you can somehow make a magic mirror that changes the way you look until you stand in front of it again. So again, maybe you don't want to actually try and explain it, maybe you just want to present it as fact, or maybe you somehow want to do it with science fiction, but then you risk easily losing the entire story in some weird gadget. That would be a pity, because it's a very simple story, really. And the interest is entirely in the way that the protagonist feels and that the girl slash boy appears to be. So anyway, that's it. I'll just summarise again in case the rest of it was just the direct deranged ravings of someone who's just woken up, because I am slightly suspicious of myself in this instance. I'm in this modern lovely library building, have to meet this nice girl I get talking to, she's going to come and have coffee with me or have lunch with me or something. I lose sight of her for a moment if she's putting some books down or changing or something like that. This guy who looks curiously like her but is definitely taller and also clicking to remember spottier, more aggressive, comes over and starts almost yelling at me, being aggressive. I back off, he follows me. He somehow got me trapped, even though I don't remember feeling sneaky trapped. He demanded that I was doing this girl. So it's definitely a link between the two. Eventually, he calms down a bit and demands to have coffee with me or have lunch with me or something. And I agree. And then he goes to take his lab coat off because he's got a white lab coat on. And then during that, in the second thing with the guy, I blink or turn away for a minute. And then when I look again, it's the girl again. And she was the same person as the boy. And the obvious implication is it's a happy ending, that you know, she's going to have lunch with me. Or whatever it was. There we go. It's the middle of the night. I really need to get back to sleep. I hate that this return recording was comprehensible. I'm just going to listen to a bit of it. And then hopefully I'll be able to make it down and actually make a story out of this. Just want to record a couple more notes about that last idea. I don't think the guy was spotty. I said spottier, I think, but anyway, I don't think that's so much as just his features were, his skin is a bit coarser or that sort of thing. And again, that could just be an illusion by being close to him. Or at least one could be made to believe that it was. And I was thinking that he filmed it. He just, the success of the court must depend on finding exactly the right two actors for the boy and the girl so that they looked plausibly similar enough. And I think, well, you could either do it one of two ways. You could either do it first person, so you know if you see the protagonist. That might actually be convincing somehow. Or maybe that wouldn't work in a film, I'm not sure. But it's definitely a first person dream. So I'm looking myself from the outside. And there's something else. Yes, there was something else. I just wanted to record the fact that I had this dream. I emphasise, I think, because I already mentioned it, that I had this dream just after going to sleep. or at least within an hour of getting to sleep, which is not normal. I normally dream in the morning. I'm in a strange bed. That might be important. Change my sleeping patterns. But it's just a very strange thing altogether, because I've been asleep for, as I say, probably less than an hour, or had been when I woke up. And I had this completely coherent dream, which I wasn't fully able to get down in the recording, because in the usual way, some of the details started to fade. And I've really been very determined to get everything down that I can remember, and to start doing so immediately, because I just reasoned with myself that this was important, and that in the usual way, if I just went back to sleep, I wouldn't remember a thing in the morning. Although actually, the dream was so simple that I wonder if I might have remembered the crucial features of, you know, girl, boy, girl, they're the same person. Which is the essence of the story. Despite the fact that one usually loses the grip on dreams completely. I struggle to remember a dream that I've retained that clearly. There was the dream I had the night I sort of skewed, or pretty much the same night anyway. When we were visiting down in Belgium in 1992, and to a similar moment. But I don't think I'll associate it with anything else in particular. That was quite a long time, that dream. I had all the ideas about skewed. But anyway, there it is. I think that's everything important down about the dream that I can actually remember. And my main point's significance. Or rather, the only circumstances, I mean, rather the circumstances in which I dreamed it. I might try and write this entire thing up as a sort of transcript of this recording, because I've listened to some of the recording and I'm optimistic that I'll be able to understand it all. But nonetheless, it's a bit indistinct, partly because I think I was talking too far from the phone in the main part of the recording, and partly because my voice is completely gravelly, because of course I'm completely asleep in the middle of the night. But anyway, I'll transfer the recordings onto my computer as soon as I can, make the best of it, and even if for some stupid reason, because I don't understand this gadget, yes, I lose them all, I have a reasonable chance of retaining the important bits just from the act of making the recording. Good night, myself.